Goodness only knows where we're going today. Do you like the yolk? Oh, very good, says Mal, because her husband made it for me. So there's a yolk. So we made a yolk. Then I thought, well, a yolk's not much good without one of these. So we made one of those. And then I thought, oh, it looks naff without a plough. And so I've just applied to Thurlow Nunn, actually. I'm changing jobs. Agricultural mechanic. Okay. So what are we going to do? We're talking about a yoke today. And I need some people to help me out. And I was running really late, so I haven't pre-asked anyone, so sorry. So I need two people about the same height. Oh, and Matt is looking at Sam. Are you two the same height? Are you much taller? You probably are, I don't know. Do you mind? Thank you. You might want to lose that nice jacket. Okay, so we're looking at yokes. There's a lot of talk in the Bible about yokes. So I don't know if this is a preach, a teach, a thought, I don't know. So, guys, I'm sorry, I'm going to be really unfair to you. Do you mind just sitting down for a minute? That's for your shoulders. Okay, so what's a yoke? Are we up? Are we able to do that? Can everyone see this or not? No, you can't. Can we have a video shot of it maybe, possibly at some stage? Okay. Can Matt, just budge up so they can see that on the screen. All right, so a yoke was used, it's still used actually in different places in the world, to tether two animals together for the purpose of ploughing mainly. Now there are yokes, there's all kinds of yokes, there's yokes of slavery and bondage, it's symbols of bondage mainly, slavery, you can even say about the yoke of taxation upon you, it's something heavy, it's something that weighs you down, it's a burden on you. So people would have yokes, and although this isn't that kind of yoke, it would go over their necks, they would be in bondage, they would have pals or whatever, they would carry loads on a yoke. So there's an individual yoke. Jeremiah wore a yoke as a prophetic sign around his neck, and I think he actually made yokes for some of the kings and stuff, and he sent word out to say that they were going to be under captivity, and they could. It was the thing that God was doing to them. God was putting them under a yoke of captivity to Babylon, and so there's different things about yokes, and then there's the yoke that two animals would wear. So should we try it? Just put that over your shoulder, it's just a bit dusty. Thank you very much. So your neck is going through there. Is that right? You're right, that on your t-shirts?
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely. Okay, probably not the most comfortable thing. Okay, this is a yoke. These would have been wood. I don't know if there's a PowerPoint you can get up there. So flick back, I think. That's not the first slide, John. So there they are, the two strong oxen, equally matched. And then if you come and stand here, facing the drums. Oh, dear. Sometimes I really worry about myself. So the concept was you would have something like this. Paul, would you grab the handle? So this would be your plow. Move forward a bit. This is up the wrong way. Okay, so this would be your plow. And there's your oxen, obviously not that high. And Paul, one-handed, and it is really sharp, so don't whack him. Okay? He could steer the plow, and he could, do you know what he's doing? He could goad the oxen. So, yeah, so I'm going to run away with myself. So, thank you very much. Do you mind sitting down again? So we get the concept. Stuck forever. Wish that on your trousers. All right, so you get the concept. Do you mind just... You can go back to your seats, I might call you in a minute. So in poetry and in scripture, you would have these phrases about being freed from a yoke. It would be a pictorial language of being set free from captivity, slavery, coming out from under bondage. So it says in Leviticus 26:13. Thanks, John, if we can go back onto the PowerPoint. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with your heads held high. So obviously yokes, you're pushing the heads down really, aren't you? It's the load. So God wanted to break yokes off people and let their heads be held high as sons and daughters of the king. So there's a talk about yoke of sin. And I'm sure you don't need me going through all that stuff, but it says about transgressions being like a yoke and binding you. There's yokes of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it's lots of talk about yokes in the Bible, because this was absolutely mainstream. Everyone understood it. Everyone used it. It was how you did everything with agriculture back in Jesus' day. So it was a good analogy to use. Now, I'm sure if we're talking about yokes and scripture, the one that comes to mind is quite a horrible one, in the sense of don't be unequally yoked. And I'm going to read it. In fact, I think it's, go back one please, John. So can you read that? I can't read out of there. So do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what does fellowship, what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? And Paul goes on to clarify straight after by saying, in both Isaiah and Revelation, it says, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. We're told that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's saying here, how can the temple of Christ have anything to do with the temple of this thing, Baal, who is a symbol of a demon or the devil himself? It also means, interestingly, someone who is self-sufficient, truly independent, and has no master, which I didn't realise. But that's the picture, okay? Now, this is a hard word, isn't it? Because it's like, why? Why is that unfair for young people, especially? Is that unfair? I just wanted to unpack it a bit, because I don't want this to sound judgmental. I don't want it to sound like something that we want to just beat people up with. It's not about that. I want to try to explain what's going on. And hopefully with this analogy, we can. Guys, sorry, can you come up again? You know, are we saying that people that aren't Christians are evil? I'm certainly not. I'm not saying that in the slightest. Come up here again. Right. Yeah, just pop that on again. Yeah, facing that way. No, of course, I'm not saying that in the slightest. Am I saying that they're bad, but they're bad influences? No, I'm not saying that. It's not like that. They might be, but so might Christians. What are we saying when we say unequally yoked? Well, Josh, you two are actually quite tall, so it's kind of backfiring a bit, but there's tall and then there's tall. So, Josh, do you mind going in there? All right. Unequally yoked puts more of a burden on someone. Doesn't work as sweetly. It causes heaviness. It causes stumbling. Even their stride will be different lengths. Being unequally yoked doesn't work well. Okay, you don't yoke. You don't do it. You don't put two oxen together, one who's little and one who's big, because it doesn't work, you know? And I don't think it's just talking about boy-girl relationships. I think you've got to think way outside of that. You've got to think, who are you hanging out with? who are your friendship groups with? Are you heading in the right direction? Are you equally yoked? If you're looking for a partner, I would go as far as to say, don't just look for a Christian partner. And I know it's hard enough trying to find a Christian partner, I'm there, but try and find someone who's united in heart with you. Am I saying the wrong thing? Who's united in heart, who's one at heart, who shares the same goals, who shares the same direction. Because being unequally yoked, if Matt doesn't want to go that way, and Josh wants to go that way, Matt is going to start turning that way. Turn towards. And you just throttle Josh. Do you see the angst here? Do you see the problems and the heartache and the disunity of going in different ways? And quite honestly, if you're a believer and you really want to hunger after God, you really want to live your life for God, it's actually a lot worse. It's like this. Josh, just turn around a minute. You're going in totally different directions. How the heck can that work? How can it work? Practically. You know, practically, Matt wants to go to Naturally Supernatural. You know, he's really looking forward to it. He daren't even mention it to Josh because Josh definitely won't. What is all that nonsense about? You know? Do you see what I mean? Matt has an amazing encounter in church with God, and he's desperate to... Becky, you should be here, I'm sorry. He's desperate to tell the person that's closest to him about it. He's desperate to share this excitement with the person he loves. He can't. Because they might love him to bits, but they just don't get it. They're not going to get it. It's not going to work. Being unequally yoked is not a harsh command of the Lord. It is saying, I made you. I understand you better than you will ever understand yourself. I want to bless you. I want you to live in harmony with your wife, with your husband, with your friends. I want you to be going the same direction. I want you to help one another. I want iron to sharpen iron. I don't want you yoked, tied together under a burden that is heavy and doesn't fit right and makes struggles everywhere you go. I don't want that for you. Thanks, guys. So, thank you. So, when we're looking at scriptures like this, we've got to see God's heart. He is not against us. He is for us. He wants the best for us. I want to say, this is such a horrible subject to try and deal with, because I know some of you might be in relationships that you know aren't right. That is so difficult. I'm really sorry. I want to say you shouldn't have gone there in the first place, but now you are. What do you do? What do you do? It's really hard. I remember talking to someone who started a relationship with someone. They knew they shouldn't. God convicted them, and then they go and dump the person. Now that girl, bless her, she was a really, really sweet girl. And she was devastated. She was really in love with him. She was absolutely devastated. The reason, why? Why are you dumping me? Because God said. Oh, great. That's brilliant, that is, isn't it? Because she was on zero in her Christian faith. Now she's at minus flipping 20. Because what is this God of love? It's just a mess. It's a mess. You know, this might sound really weird. If you're in that kind of relationship, don't go and just finish everything. Don't do it. But set your heart on God and seek his face and be wise in how you handle it and come and ask advice from us. If you're not there, don't go there. Don't go there. Okay? It will hurt you and it will hurt the other person. I was livid with him. I had every sympathy with her. Don't go there. Now, obviously, again, you might be in a marriage situation where your partner doesn't believe. And again, I want to say sorry. That is such a hard struggle. It can be such a hard struggle for you. God bless you in loving them well. God bless you in being wise at how you handle things. May God bless you. If you want people to pray for you, please come and ask us. We'll pray. We'll pray. But it is not an easy journey, is it? I'm sure that, well, I say I'm sure. I would say if you're hungry for God and you're in that position, I'm sure you would want to jump up here and give testimony of how difficult it is, how lonely it is at times, how awful it is at times. Why am I saying this when there's hardly any youngsters with us? Well, it affects us all, actually. Because where are our mindsets at? What are we teaching our youth? Not in hardship, but in love and compassion. And what are we accepting? What do we want to happen? What are we praying for our young people? Pray for them. Golly, they need our prayers. Our young people do. Really pray for them. And as I say, relationships are way outside girlfriend, boyfriend. They're who are you hanging out with? What stuff are you listening to at work? What are you partnering with at work? It's not about, I don't think, it says come out and be separate. I don't think it's about this bubble of Christianity that we all come and live in a commune. But I think it's knowing where you're heading and knowing what your calling is and knowing who your master is and not being deferred in that call. And then blessing those around you. You know, blessing the world around you. Helping the world around you, loving the world around you, sharing your faith, sharing goodness and kindness to those around you. So that's some relational yoke stuff. Come and talk to me if you've got questions on that. It's a huge subject. Being a Christian, we can say, well, I don't want to be yoked. You know, this yoking, what's all this yoking? That's kind of, it's heavy. What you're saying is heavy. This is really heavy. Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you done it? Is he Lord of your life? Because lordship is lordship, isn't it? I was going to do this, and now I've got caught out. So I can't do it. I was going to ask if anyone had got an old fiver that they could give me. Well, I will. Has anyone got an old fiver that they can give me? New fiver? Not a chance. Thank you. All right. Have you given it to me, Sally? I'm serious. Have you given it to me? You can take it back if you want. It's mine. Okay, it's mine. All right? It's mine. It belongs to me, yeah? It belongs to me. Won't burn. That's why I wanted an old one. It's mine. I can do with it what I like. And I haven't even defaced the queen yet, so I'm all right. I can do with it what I like. Can I? Do you belong to God? Have you given yourself to him? Have you given your heart to him? Is he Lord of your life? He gives you freedom of choice. He does. But if we're really submitted to him, we won't be messing around with yokes that aren't yoked to him, that he doesn't want us to wear. Because we are actually, if we're yoked to anyone, we're yoked to Jesus Christ. That's who we need to be yoked to. Amen? Sorry, Sally. So, kicking against the goads. All right, so I won't get them back up here. But this is a goad. Oh, an 8 foot long, thanks Paul, 8 foot longish stick with a metal sharp prodder on the end. Not nice. There is an account in the scriptures of some guy, I can't think of his name, killing 600 people with a goad. Yeah, was it Samson? Was it? No, he was the ox jaw, wasn't it? Someone else, anyway. They're not very pleasant things, okay? So this is a goad, and it says, leave it there. It's all right, leave it there. It says, thank you, John. Can I grab the goad? Thanks. And again. Thanks, John. Just forward it if it works. Okay, don't kick against the goads. Do you remember who said this? Jesus said it to Paul on the road of Damascus. So Paul has this encounter with Jesus, or with the angel, and it says in Acts 26, it says, on one of these journeys I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. So he's going to persecute the Christians. About noon, O king, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven burning brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice asking me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen for me and what I will show you. It's hard to kick against the goads. What's Jesus saying? He's saying in very familiar language, you are going in a direction that your master does not want you to go in. And you're kicking against the goad. I'm trying to steer you. Now, I don't know what was going on for Saul. I don't know. I get a kind of feeling that God had already started a journey in his heart, and he was fighting it. I can't prove this, but I think he was thinking of some of the stuff that these Christians, that these people that he was persecuting, something had gone on, but he was fighting against hearing God. And God was having to use a goad. It was called blindness. It was called flashing light on a road and falling to the floor and blindness. That's a pretty severe goad, isn't it? That's not a little whisper. That's like a whack round the neck with a goad. So a goad, they would spur on a stubborn oxen by whacking it into the back legs, and they would steer an oxen by whacking it onto the neck and steering the oxen. And Paul needed steering with a goad. Ecclesiastes says, so this is, I'm all over the shop, I do know that. I don't know, hopefully some of it will click. The words of the wise are like goads. Their collective sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. It's actually talking about the word of God, actually. Words of the wise in Ecclesiastes, it's kind of saying about the word of God. It's like a goad. It steers, it directs, it guides, it makes you go further. It kind of stimulates activity. So that's what a goad is. Thank you. Let's see where we go now. I can't remember. Thanks, John. Next one. Just the next one, I think. Yeah. So that's what he said. And the next one, please. Okay. So, stiff-necked. The scriptures are full of this saying, stiff-necked people. I mean, there is tons of scripture about stiff-necked people. So this one, 2 Chronicles says, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke the word of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, that's where they were in bondage. That's where he had to wear this yoke. That's where Jeremiah had said, you've got to wear this yoke because the God's saying that you're going to be under him. So who had made him take an oath in God's name? He became stiff-necked and hardened his heart and would not turn to the Lord. Stiff-necked literally means hard of neck. It means stubborn, untractable, not to be led, and it's all about oxen and ploughing. So if an ox was hard to control or stubborn, it was hard of neck because it wanted to go where it wanted to go, and it fought against the yoke and it got a stiff neck. Are you with me? A people not responding to the guiding of their God. A stiff-necked people. Rebellious, wayward, defiant, unruly, pig-headed. And honestly, there are scripture after scripture after scripture about stiff-necked people. Acts 7, this is Stephen just before he's going to be stoned. And he says to the Pharisees, he says, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. The challenge to us is, are we stiff-necked? Is there any element of us that's stiff-necked, that doesn't want to be led by the Spirit of God? Because I think, I truly believe, God doesn't want to use a goat on us. He wants a still small voice. He wants to whisper to us. He wants to encourage us. He doesn't want to have to get, you know, loud with us. He doesn't want to have to bring in some kind of correction thing to keep us on track. He wants to share hearts with us. He wants to be yoked to us. He wants to be so yoked to us that we're carrying his yoke with him, in step with him, in time with him. You've ever done a three-legged race? It doesn't it hurt unless you get it right. Oh my goodness, you're tied together and you're all eager. So Mark said go, and you go legging it and fall over on your face and your ankles twisted and your legs half snapped off and you're really cross with the other person. It's because, well, there's lots of techniques. I know you want to fill me in. I want to know you want to say tie it tighter and tie it further up your leg. I'm just saying, okay? I'm just saying it hurts, doesn't it? Whereas if you link arms and you watch each other and you get a rhythm up and you're not taking bigger steps than the other person, it's sweet and you win the race. We need to be like that with the Holy Spirit, don't we? In step, not ahead, not lagging behind, not erring to the left, not erring to the right, not going our own way, not being stiff-necked. Thanks, John. I don't know what other... Yeah, can you go on to the next one? Stubborn. Look at that thing. Isn't that a picture of stubbornness? I hope we're not like that with God, but I fear that sometimes I am. I fear I am sometimes. I don't want to do that. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. So I'm going my own way. You know, I don't even want to ask in case you say... I'm not going there. Don't. I'm not. You know, God describing how he would eliminate the Canaanites and all the other ites. He says to Israel, he says, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you in the way... For you are a stiff-necked people. God does not like stiff-necked people. He doesn't like them. Time and time again, I've got tons of scriptures. I'll skip them all because our time's going. Since the day your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have sent you, all my servants, the prophets, daily rising early and sending them. Yet you did not listen to me or incline your ear, but stiffened your neck. They did more evil than their fathers did. So marks of stiff-necked people, you can score yourself. Certainty that you are right. Refusal to listen to anyone else. Defensive when criticized. Making excuses for your shortcomings. Lashing out at others. No desire to examine your own life. A repeated pattern of misbehavior. And prayer without repentance. There's some things to stick in your pipe, isn't it? Good grief. Okay. So Deuteronomy says, yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you among all peoples, as it is this day. So circumcise your hearts and stiffen your neck no longer. Okay, so that's some negatives. Let's do some positives, which I love. So guidance. In Isaiah 30, we get to 30 verse 21. And this is lovely, I think. People of Zion, who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears you, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the left or to the right, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. It's a picture of this, isn't it? So Paul is there ploughing, and we're the oxen. And instead of that goad, we're going to the left, we're coming out of the rut, we're missing, you know, he's seeing this straight line that he wants to plow. And the Lord says, if you err to the left or to the right, you'll hear me. I'll say, you know, this is the way, walk in it. It's gentleness, it's guidance, it's beauty. Isn't that lovely? It's not harsh. He wants to guide his people. He wants to guide us. Proverbs says, you know it so well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways, acknowledge what he's doing, where he's saying, and he will make your path straight. Amen? And Proverbs 4:10 says, listen, my child, and accept my words, so that the years of your life will be many. I will guide you in the way of wisdom, and I will lead you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. His heart is just so passionate for us, his children. He wants to lead us and steer us and guide us. God's heart wants to loose people from yokes. He wants to get yokes of slavery and oppression and bitterness and unforgiveness and everything else that the enemy wants to yoke us down with. He is the one that breaks our yokes. He is the one that sets us free. That's what he wants, freedom for us. And actually, freedom for us doesn't look like maybe you think. Freedom would be no yoke. But actually, true freedom is being yoked to the King of Kings. That's true freedom. It's being yoked to the Holy Spirit. The Paraclete. I say it so often, the Paraclete, a name of the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside, the one who shares our burdens, who takes the weight off our shoulders, the one who leads us and directs us and leads us into good paths and green pastures beside still waters. Oh my goodness. It's beautiful, isn't it? And I know we go through suffering. I know. But still, if he is with us, his rod and staff, they will comfort us. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. Hosea is beautiful. Hosea 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baal, and they burnt incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it, that it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I think it's symbolic of all this stuff. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them, because they refuse to repent? Can you see God's heart? Turn to me, humble yourselves, be ready. It's been said this morning several times. So Jesus, we come on to, again, probably one of the most famous scriptures that we could say about a yoke. And it's Matthew 11, and it says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're going through a really hard time, you might think, my yoke is way from easy. How dare you even say it? My yoke is so heavy. What are you saying? That I just don't trust God enough? That I'm just, you know, I pour out my life to Jesus. I don't know what else to do. I'm saying, this is what the Lord says. There is a struggle in it. There is for us at times. But Jesus is not some taskmaster bearing down on us with judgment and with heaviness and with laws and regulations to crush us. He is a loving Father who wants to combine with us to lift our yoke, to take our burdens off us. He wants to lift your burdens off you. He wants to share your load, carry your load, guide you through your load and this painful time that you're going through. His yoke, don't get it confused, his yoke is not heavy. What his heart is for you is love and acceptance and help and befriending and healing and restoring and sanctification and getting you to heaven and sharing eternity with you and pouring out blessings upon you and filling you with his Holy Spirit. His yoke is not heavy. Satan's yoke is mightily heavy. God's yoke is not heavy. Come to me. If you're burdened, if you're weary, come to me. I will give you rest. Hunger after me. Let me teach you. That's what that says. It doesn't say, come to me, it's just going to happen. Let me teach you. Receive from me. Let me teach you how to walk. Let me teach you how to jostle this yoke. Let me teach you when you're getting a stiff neck because you want to break away all the time. Trust my love. Trust me. Trust I know what's best for you. Trust my heart is for you. Trust I've got purpose in this journey. Walk with me. Learn to walk in step with me. Learn to follow me. Link your arms around me. Let me bear your load. Don't run off. Don't turn to the left or the right. You'll hear me calling you if you do. But don't be stiff-necked. People, don't be stiff-necked. If God wants to do stuff, if he's moving, if he wants to do stuff, don't be stiff-necked. He is loving and compassionate and faithful and just and slow to anger. But that doesn't say he doesn't get angry. It says he's slow to anger. Don't make him angry like the Israelites did by being a stiff-necked people. Talk to him. Lift up your burdens to him. Partner with him. Be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And may God bless you. And may God bless this church as we partner to do his work according to his will for his glory, being led by his Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Should we just pray to you? Is that all right? Father, I just want to thank you so much that each one of us here, Lord, if we know you, you have already broken the biggest yoke of bondage off our necks. You have broken it. It has been shattered and smashed. You have trodden it under your feet. You did it at the cross of Calvary. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you that we are no longer slaves. Lord, I thank you that we are not under the bondage of Satan in that sense. We are not children of darkness. We are children of light. You have transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have poured your blessings and anointing upon us. We are forgiven. We have been forgiven by you. We have justified just as if we have never, ever sinned. You have washed us with the power of your blood. It is incredible, Lord Jesus Christ. It is incredible. You took our sins. You don't just take our burdens. You took our sins and our offenses and everything that separated us from you. And you nailed it to a cross on your body. I thank you, Lord God. We want to be people, Lord, that live in the reality of the freedom that you have given us. Lord, for those that are weighed down with heavy loads right now, Father, by your Spirit, I pray that you would speak deep within them and that they would know that they can come to you and they can allow you to lift those burdens, to share those burdens, to take the weight. Father, for any of us that maybe, I don't know, we've lost our way a bit and we know we're stubborn, maybe over one area that we won't let you be Lord over. Father, thank you for your mercy upon us. Thank you for your kindness upon us. But Lord, I know you won't let us go and I'm grateful for that. Lord, I pray, Lord, it sounds a horrible thing to say, but I pray out of your love. If your voice won't work, if your still small voice won't work, I pray you'd goad us, Lord. because it would be better to be goaded and to find truth and freedom than to wander our own way into slavery again. Father God, I thank you for everyone here, for those that are struggling, maybe in relationships, whatever. Pray you bless them and speak to them. But God, we're hungry for more of you. We want to walk in your ways. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, guide us. In these days we pray. To God be the glory. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys.